broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
What they should do is establish what is the guideline.
Compromise is advice. I mean, I have no problem. I mean, we often have to do that.
I'm not angry. I am frustrated. This is my son.
You know, this is a bigger picture. You look around the country, you see the atheist billboard.
When you're really ready to play, play for Nevada.
She's a brah.
She's going to hell this pitch.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and I do mean it's a bitch some nights, man. And through the looking glass we go every night, going places other talk shows cannot go. Some nights they wouldn't want to go where we go. Coming up this hour, service members are getting a raise, but it's their smallest increase since 1962, a 1.4% increase. Joining us to discuss this, Raj Faneen, who is the CFO of the family business, an aviation insulation business. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and we hope that you'll join us over there for our live streaming video as well as audio of the show. I thought that I had brought up the story, but here it is, essentially. Smallest increase in almost 50 years, dubbed absolute garbage. But Senate filibuster over Don't Ask, Don't Tell jeopardizes any raise at all. When President Obama announced a freeze on pay for federal workers, he did exempt the military from the deficit-fighting measure. Service members are scheduled to receive a 1.4% salary hike in 2011, but that raise would be their smallest annual raise since 1962. So it's obviously reflecting a very, very tough time the country's having, and I guess it's a very, very tough time the country's having figuring out exactly, you know, how they want to save money. Stars and Stripes, which is an independent news source for members of the military, reports today that with Republicans in the Senate holding up consideration of the annual National Defense Authorization Bill, which includes a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even that 1.4% increase is now in jeopardy. But a pay hike isn't the only measure in the bill that would affect service members' wallets. Also included in the legislation are recruiting and enlistment bonuses, an extension of TRICARE coverage for dependents of troops until they're 26, increases in hostile fire and imminent danger pay, and aid to schools with high enrollment of children from military families. 877-876-PHIL, the number, and let's get on the line here. Mr. Raj Faneen, who is the chief financial officer of Dynamic, which is a aviation insulation business, and you guys are involved in the, you know, just like anybody else, any other business, you're involved in budgeting, and you being the chief financial officer, Mr. Faneen, you're the one that is looking at the bottom line. What do you think about this? What do you think of the, first of all, the proposal to freeze all federal pay except the military, which it sounds fair to me, but the fact that it's such a small increase?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity to speak on behalf of our company and speak to American people, you know, about this, you know, economic matters, because I have been a part of the economy of this country for 4 years, and I've been a beneficiary of good business. But you must be a good business. And you asked me this question, you know, does the military, do they deserve this increase?
Well, it's not so much do they deserve. I suppose you could address that if you want. I'm thinking more in terms of what do you think of I think I did ask you that. But what do you think of the fact that it could be held up?
Well, I don't necessarily think that this pay increase for now, you know, is a good idea, because look at the state of the American economy, the fact that there is federal freeze that you speak of, and also for this the military pay increase. Let's look at this. If you want to look at this with logic, you know, that these American soldiers, if you look at other American soldiers, they were to go into combat and to win, you know, this battle. These American soldiers not yet won this battle. And my son thought to the boy, you know, he's 9 years old, but he said to me, Daddy, don't you think for them to get this race, they should at least win, you know, one more to get this race?
Your son said for them to get the race, they ought to win at least one war?
Yes, yes. And you know, it's a child is going to ask this question, but this is not a bad question, you know.
Well, I don't know that they... I'm not sure that they actually look at pay raises for our military based on the wars that they win.
Yes, but that is very well true, I'm sure. But I am asking you, I ask the people listen to us tonight, shouldn't that be to take this into consideration? If your military is asked to have a pay raise, could they not first show what they have done? You know, if I give a pay raise to the people that work, you know, on the assembly line for us, for instance, or to my office or to my sales staff, this must be based upon performance. If I give a pay raise as American president, you know, to a military, have they earned this? And the answer to that question is not yet, you know. I'm not to say they have not done a good job.
Well, they've done a great job. I mean, they've in my opinion, they've done a great job, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq.
But you also must understand that the Iraq war was a war that not everyone felt was the right war. So they went and they waged war in a country that not everyone wanted them to be in. So you can't give them a raise for this because there are going to be people that disagree that they get a raise for this. It's the wrong war, you know.
Well, you can't penalize them. They go where they're supposed to go. You know, I don't. I'm glad they went to Iraq. I agreed with the Iraq war.
Yes, but a lot of people.
I'm assuming that you didn't.
No, I did not. No, I did not agree. But if I did agree and they won the war, then I say give them a raise. But not only did they not win the war in Iraq.
Well, I think they did. I think it's very clear they did. I think they were winning it anyway. I think they were removed from the theater in Iraq there because of political consideration. But you're basically saying they didn't win the war in Iraq, and so therefore they shouldn't get a raise.
Well, not only did they not win the war in Iraq, they should not really have been there. But I know, I agree with you to say I don't want to punish these men. I don't want to punish them. Because they go, as you said, Phil, they go where they're told to go. But still, you know, it's like to say, did you go to Iraq? Yes, I did. You were ordered to go to Iraq. Yes, I was. Well, I know that you followed your order, but that's, you don't use the American term, they say, that's tough, you know, tough toenails. You know, you went to the wrong war, my friend, so you don't get a raise.
And what about a raise based on Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan, they do a good job, but they have not won yet, you see. You see, I don't know. We give them a raise after Abu Ghraib, for instance, after so many civilians. We give them a raise for invading a country that didn't attack us. A normal employee gets a bonus or a pay raise after they close a big deal or complete a big project. But so why the difference here, you know?
Well, Abu Ghraib, I mean, there was a handful of guys, and it was underwear on the head.
It was not that good. It wasn't good, you know. And then you say Afghanistan. Now I say to you, Afghanistan is a good idea, you know. But that job's not done yet.
All right, hold on, Roger. Number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking to the CFO of Dynamic, which is an aviation insulation company. Mr. Fineen is the chief financial officer of that company. So we talk about pay raises for the military and the idea that Mr. Fineen at least believes they're not entitled to these pay raises just yet because they haven't won a war yet. The last pay raise the American military got was in the early 1960s. Excuse me, I shouldn't say the last pay raise, but the smallest increase they've gotten, 1.4%, the smallest before this one, was in 1962. So are you saying the soldiers of 1962 were similar to the soldiers of today?
Well, I mean, if you look at 1962, there was no war that we were yet to fight. In Vietnam, there has not been an escalation in Vietnam. And so the last war that we fought was Korea, which was also, you know, was that a win? I don't know, you know. So by 1962, there was no real war that anybody could look at and say, what was our last big win, you know? So naturally, there's going to be a low pay, what do you want to say, raise, you know. Vietnam, I don't know if they got a raise. The last war that America fought where they should have given them a big raise was this, the Gulf War that, of course, was Saddam Hussein, you know, in Kuwait. And they should have given them a bonus.
Because they won that war.
Well, yes. Yes, and Panama, you know, and Grenada, but not this. You know, they haven't...
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, speaking with Raj Fineen about the pay raise for the military. Marine Corps Sergeant John Ellis told USA Today, this is absolute garbage. The U.S. government can bail out GM and other major corporations, but for us little guys who make beans for money and risk getting killed, these people think we don't need a raise. What do you think of that?
I don't have a lot of sympathy for the point of view, you know, to give money for GM. I understand the man being upset, you know. I understand. But if you look at the economics, you have to say GM and these other companies must get more money than soldiers because the soldier, you know, he's not, you're not going to give a soldier any money that he's going to say to you, oh, thank you so much. I give you a raise. He's going to say, look, he's getting 1.4. He says that, you know, I pull it out. I wave my thing at that, you know. So it doesn't matter what you give to the soldier. He's still going to say that General Motors is pigs, you know, they're pigs. They're nothing but pigs. And I agree. General Motors, Ford Motor, the other one, you know.
With the banks?
Yes, the banks, they're all pig. They're filthy pig. But having said that, the soldier, they don't have any money to give him.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Raj Fineen about soldiers and do they deserve raises? Well, in point of fact, what's the last war they've won? The last guys who deserved a raise were the Gulf War guys and the Panama guys and the Grenada guys, but the guys in Iraq and Afghanistan haven't won anything yet. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Raj Fineen from San Fernando Valley, we're talking about the military and the possibility of pay raises. Now, this is a pay raise, Raj, that's been approved, 1.4%. Okay.
So I know that this raise has been approved, but so there are people who say that it's not enough, you know.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of people that say it's not enough. And as I said to you, it's the smallest one since 1962. But are you saying that they don't deserve one at all?
Well, if you ask me, and I run a business now for 24 years. If you ask me, I am telling you that for me, you don't give a raise, and I don't know there's a business that's different. You don't give a raise unless you get this result and this raise for these soldiers, this time they get the free housing, they get their clothes, they get their rent free, they get food, but there's no result, you know. You don't get the raise just because you show up, you know. Is the military even working for the money? Are they defending the country? You know, well. But do we want them to be part of entitlement, you know?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Entitlement, so that's what you think it is, huh?
It looks like it's entitlement. And you know that in order to, for this economy to get the, back, you know, it's got to get rid of entitlement.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a phone call here. James in Napa, you're on the Phil Henry Show. James, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that your guest doesn't seem to really understand the fact that Congress is the one who's been running the majority of our wars, except for, Desert Storm, which was ran by Schwarzkopf, and that was very successful. But Vietnam and all this nonsense over in Iraq and Afghanistan has been run by Congress and the political machine.
Well,
so
I don't know.
Have any success. And,
So if you want to not get somebody, you know, away, if you got that bad bus, if you got the bad bus, it's tough. You know?
I'm on my cell phone and I'm paying money to talk to you, so just zip it. All right?
It's tough. It's real tough, you know, if you got a bad bus.
I'm a soldier. I'm an ex-soldier, and I have a right to speak. This is America.
But it's tough. But it's tough. You know?
We know it's tough. Let the man talk.
But it's tough.
I know it's tough. I know it's tough.
Look, now here's the thing. If you want to
best citizen Congress, you know.
Somebody shouldn't get a raise. It's Congress who should not get a raise. Because not only do they not know how to run a war, they don't know how to run the country. Because the military because they put their lives on the lives on the lives on their they put their lives on the line for our freedom. 1% is a joke. It should be at least 3 or 4%. It ought to be better than whatever inflation is. The other thing,
you've got these bastards in Congress. They're not even running the country. The American people run the country. So if you want to.
You lodge a complaint. It's ridiculous.
You got to lodge a complaint.
It's not a company.
You know what I'm saying?
These people put their lives on the line. It's not a company. You've got a complete misunderstanding of how this country works, what the military is about, how it's ran.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I'll listen to you on the radio.
Okay, please do, because you've got a lot to learn. Number one. If you got these bastards, I understand what he says to these bastards in Congress, you know. And
could you not use the word bastard, if you don't mind?
No, but I'm saying the bastard in Congress.
All right, the bastards in Congress, and that may well be something that people agree with calling them, but I would like you to, just a little bit, watch your language, if it's okay. You know.
All right.
Tell you what, let me take one more phone call, and we'll... 877-876-PHIL. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay. Mr. Finine, what is your country of origin?
My country of origin?
Yes. Where did you immigrate from?
Immigrate from? From Egypt.
From where?
From Egypt.
Well, let me tell you something.
What difference does it make?
I served 23 years in the infantry. Okay.
And these guys in Washington.
All right, let the man talk.
I spent 23 years in the infantry. I'm retired military, retired from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I spent 2 tours of duty in Korea at the 2nd Infantry Division on the DMZ. I spent 8 years in 7th Infantry Division.
Great. Get to the point, will you?
Don't rush the guy.
He's giving me his resume. You shut your pie hole, my friend.
Okay?
I tell you this.
The first
you
thing
got
is
to
this.
Win a war if you're
spent,
going to make money. You have to win a war. You do more talking than you do fighting. You know that? You've done more talking than I hear you do soldiering.
It's people like you
who are not working for this country. You have to go and win a war before you can pay.
That's not how it works.
This guy also doesn't like the fact that I come from Egypt. How many Muslims do you have in the army? I think you've got quite a few, you know. And so this Jack Paul and these bastards in Washington.
All right. Now, I haven't heard a thing anybody has said.
Well, that's not my fault. This guy says, let me tell you something, and he's giving me a resume that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I'm telling you, if you want to have a raise, you've got to have a result.
Rambling, okay?
I was in the 1st Infantry, and then I went to Fort Knox, and then I went here, and then I went there.
Act like a CFO and be a leader.
I'm Chief Financial Officer. That means I know about money. Chief Financial Officer. And I'm trying to educate you.
All right. Well, you know what? We're up against our break now, so I apologize very much, Jim, but we got to take a break. And Mr. Finneen, I'd appreciate it very much if you'd shut up. 877-876-PHIL. Do we give raises to our soldiers? Well, they want a raise. Mr. Finneen says that you got to win a war before you earn a raise. They're getting one of the smallest raises ever. They would like a bigger raise. And Raj Finneen's saying, what wars have they won? 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Raj Finneen on the line with us. Now, here's the story, and just so we're clear, the stopgap bill, and this is one that would freeze the pay of federal workers except the military, the raise is 1.4%. That's not. That's the smallest raise since 1962.
Yes, I understand. But if you want to be, look, you know, I've listened to the people who call the show. They are not very intelligent because they say, "Where are you from? You are Egyptian. You've got these people who are going to want to argue with me because I am from Egypt. I'm not anti-American. I am pro-American." But I am looking at this strictly from a CFO point of view. And if you want a raise, you must end the raise. And the way you end the raise is you go and, you know, let me put this the way I say to my people. You got to go out and kick some ass, you know. You have to go out to kick some ass.
Well, they're kicking ass.
They're kicking ass, but the job's not done, you know.
Well, but like the man said, the guy that you didn't like, the guy who said, you know, where are you from, Egypt? He said, this is different from a company where, you know, you're meeting a number every month. Hey, you killed this many, you get a raise. It's not how that works. Not did you win the war. It's that these guys, it's a cost of living raise, you know.
Well, it's not the cost of living, a 1.4% salary hike, and they don't even like this raise. I would say to, the soldier to say, I'm not going to give you a raise. You don't like a 1.4% salary raise. I'm not going to give to you. And I give you a raise when you win war. That's going to be incentive to win war, you know.
Well, like the man said, the war's not being fought by the soldiers. It's being fought by a Congress that is battling with not only this president but the last president over funding and the length of the stay and how long they're going to fight and where they're going to fight.
Well, you know, it's tough all the way around. You know, life's a bitch. You know, life's a bitch, and then you die. You know this?
Yes, I've heard that. Yes, I have. 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Raj Finneen with us. He's the CFO of his company out in the valley. The military is getting a raise, and he doesn't think they deserve it. You got to win a war before you get your raise. Here is Shane in San Antonio. Shane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Finneen.
Hey, man. I just got a couple of comments real quick. I'm not going to debate with anybody. I don't know who this dude is, but I was in the service for 5.5 years. I've been over 3 times, and I've done my share and done stuff that would curdle normal human being stomachs. Alright?
Well, you know what you could do is sell it to Hollywood.
Man, I'm not worried about Hollywood. I'm just letting you know those guys deserve every cent they get.
You could sell those to Hollywood.
Alright, is that what? I don't even know what he said.
Neither do I.
Anyway, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. He said that he's done things that would curdle your blood, I think.
Okay, well, if that's the case, if he's done things that would curdle my blood, he should write those down and send those to Hollywood. But I don't think he is a real soldier.
And who wasn't?
That last guy.
The guy Shane?
No, he's not a real soldier. He's not. I could tell because he was embarrassed to stay on the phone with me, and he wanted to make a statement.
Well, whether he was a real soldier or not, okay, here is a real soldier talking. I mentioned this Marine Sergeant John Ellis. The U.S. government can bail out GM and other major corporations.
I agree. It's not. I don't think they should bail out GM. I don't think they should bail out these other major corporations. But they did, you know. And I agree 100%. But the fact of the matter is they did. So do you want to go and get the money back, or you want to start to do what is a smart thing to do? And the smart thing to do now is not to give a raise to the soldier until they win the war. And that's called incentive, you see. The Obama, he wanted to have a 1.4 or 1.9. It's still the smartest raise these guys have ever had, you know. So for my money, I think what Obama should do is not give them a raise at all. So the 1.4 looks like the biggest amount of money they've ever had in their life. That's what I would do, because I tell my people, if you want money, go out and kick some ass.
All right, well, we don't need your yelling or anything.
But that's what I say. You need, you know, that's what people need. They need to have their asses kicked. These bastards in the United States Congress need to have their ass kicked. These bastards in the Congress, and then these bastards that they have who run the military, and the bastards that they have running all the CBO, kick their ass. My company has made money every year. Four straight years we make money. We kick ass. You know why? Because my people go out and they sell. If they don't, they don't get no raise.
Well,
simple as that. And if we have a down year, and God forbid we have a down year, even in recession we're making money. If that happens, nobody gets no raise. They can kiss my hind end.
Well, what are you yelling for?
I'm yelling because of these people you have call your program. You do better to turn off the radio station. Dumbass to call. I'd be better to talk to nobody. I'd like to talk to Francis the Mule.
Well, I mean, they have opinions.
Yeah, they've got opinion. Good, you know. They got opinion. And I tell you that the only way America will find its way out of this hole is they've got to go over there and kick some ass. Then they come back, they get their aid.
All right, well, thank you for that perspective.
Yeah, well, you need some perspective. Let me tell you, my friend.
All right, Raj Fanin, ladies and gentlemen, 877-876-PHIL. Our news hour coming up next hour. Okay, so you guys now, you got it? You got to go over and kick some ass. Then you get a raise. That's the way they do it at Raj's company. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Telling you, man, what a season, huh? Coming up our news hour next hour. Well, if it was up to me, they'd get a raise. I don't know. You know, if it was up to me, I'd just send out. I'd go out and I'd start robbing people. Yes, I would. I would authorize the IRS to rob primarily those people that had taken all of that TARP money to begin with. Just go to their houses and steal some of it back. I think that'd be great. I was in the bank today, and I was getting a cashier's check. And I was standing there at a window being helped by very nice people. Don't get me wrong, you know. But there were only about five of them, and they have windows at the bank for how many people would you say?
I don't know, probably about like 10.
Yeah, maybe 10. And the girls were saying, and when I say girls, they were young women, and they were saying, we're very, very sorry for the wait, and I appreciate all of that. But the line was a long line, and they had five people. Of course, what am I thinking? Why don't you hire more people for the season? I know you have the money. I know you have nothing but money. I know you're swimming in money. I know you're drowning in money. Well, we don't know. You don't know what? we don't know how big a hole this toxic asset thing is, and how much you don't know. You know what? You don't even know what color toilet paper you ought to buy tomorrow. What do you mean you don't know? That question is well beyond you. What you ought to be doing is the following thing. You know how many a lot of zeros makes, so you got all of that from the Federals. Put some people on and start helping your customers, and you worry about all that toxic asset stuff. Give that to somebody else to worry about. How about like a federal overseer? Or, I don't know, how about the jailer? How about a new CEO? How about... So, but you cats there at the branch manager level, and you people that are in charge of hiring and firing, you're not going to worry about any of that. You're going to put some people on and help your people here during Christmas time and get some people employed and, make the lines a little less than 6 miles long there at the bank like it was today with five people and the rest of them out to lunch or whatever the hell they were doing.
How do you know they're at lunch? Maybe they didn't have nobody.
I think they were at lunch because they kept drifting back, but then others kept drifting out, you know. Don't give me this horse dung about how you need this, that, or something else, and we didn't want to take the money, but they made us take the money. You know, this is an area that no one in the history of the human race, at least in the history of Western civilization, has ever been in before. It's called, we don't know how deep the hole is that we dug. So if we're giving money over here and we're not giving money to that bank, the perception is that one bank is weaker than the other, in which case the stock market, already reeling, it may have less confidence in certain institutions than others, and what we're trying to do is prop up this entire banking industry. We're trying not to have banks fail. Now, it might be stupid, and there's a lot of people, unfamiliar as they may be, with the history of this country and the economies that we've lived through, will say, well, let them fail and let the entire auto industry fail. That's fine. I'm not going to debate that with you. You can, if you'd like to see the auto industry fail, great, fine, whatever you want to do. But the fact of the matter is, it's a tough economy. It could be a lot tougher. Maybe we could make it less tough by some of the steps that were taken, not just by Obama, but by Bush. Well, here we are. And this is a bad time. And there's a lot of, and now they're saying that this unemployment will not, we won't get back to normal unemployment numbers for 5 years. Well, that's a recession. That's a recession. That's a depression in other decades, in other centuries. That would be people dead in the streets. That would be people dying from starvation. That doesn't happen anymore. Why? Because we now have governments that step in and do things. You know, but when a bank takes $20 billion in TARP money, $20 billion in TARP money, very happily takes $20 billion in TARP money, and they're standing there with their thumb parked up their rear end while they got people going out the door trying to get help, I say that there's a problem with management. I say there's a problem with allocating assets, you know. Anyway, I didn't want to get on that.
Yeah, you come back to the bank all pissed off.
I did?
Yeah.
All I did, I just went over there to get a cashier's check. I didn't mean to be pissed off. I know that I was in a hurry. Maybe that was it. Anyway, in other news, Representative Joe Barton pushed back on Monday against a contention by a Democratic FCC commissioner that the government should create new regulations to promote diversity in news programming. Barton was reacting to a proposal made last week by FCC Commissioner Michael Copps, who in a speech suggested that broadcasters be subject to a new public values test every 4 years. I hope that you do not mean to suggest that it is the job of the federal government through the FCC to determine the content is available for Americans to consume. Copps had suggested the test would make a broadcaster's license renewal contingent upon proof that they met a prospective set of federal criteria. He said outlets should be mandated to do the following. Prove they have made a meaningful commitment to public affairs and news programming. Prove they are committed to diversity programming, for instance, by showing that they depict women and minorities. By showing that they depict women and minorities. What does that mean? Report more to the government about which shows they plan to air. Require greater disclosure about who funds political ads. And devote 25% of their primetime coverage to local news. The regulations would apply to all news outlets operating on the... Well, that's not going to happen, Commissioner Copps. You know that, and I know that. That isn't going to happen. You know, you guys in the FCC, you're another one. I don't know why you even exist. There's no known reason in the universe why the Federal Communications Commission exists. I mean, as it does. There was a time back in the early 30s when you guys existed so that you could regulate frequencies and you could regulate operating power so that people weren't stepping on each other, so that we, you know, signals weren't clashing, so that, you know, if a guy's broadcasting on a clear channel, that that is a clear channel and there isn't anybody getting mowed down by the guy's signal. In other words, you served a technical purpose that is and was needed. But when it comes to programming, there, you know,
well, why don't you talk about it?
What do you mean, why don't I talk about it?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I'm not going to sit here and get wound up again about something else. God, oh, I just got flipped out, man, over the bank, you know, the bank taking $20 billion in TARP. Now you want me to flip out on the FCC?
Yeah, but I mean, these are things what need to be said.
Oh, get out of here.
They do, man. You talk about the FCC, every time you talk about them, man, you make sense.
I'm getting tired of being pissed off about everything, you know?
Well, it's time to be pissed off.
It's time to be pissed off, huh? I'm getting tired of being pissed at every time I turn around, there's something that's wacky. The FCC. Speaking of that, Bristol Palin's success triggered FCC complaints. Proof positive that we've got more brain dead in this country. You know, when they say the American people are angry, they're right. But the American people are not all angry at the same thing. That's what people are missing. We've got a whole section of people that are pissed off at the color blue, but we've got a whole section of people that are pissed off at the color red. Now, you can say the American people are angry. Yes, they are, but they're angry about different stuff. Bristol Palin wins Dancing with the Stars. Because the people voted for her, because there's a certain, I don't know, some people like her, right? Now here we have her triggering FCC complaints. In the days after Bristol Palin was voted into the finals of Dancing with the Stars, viewers from across the country wrote to the Federal Communications Commission, accusing ABC of everything from running a payola-type program to encouraging and promoting teen pregnancy. Many of the complainants, whose letters were obtained through a Freedom of Information Act, were upset that, as one Oregonian put it, the top scores were voted off, yet Sarah Palin's daughter remained on. It's got nothing to do with the FCC, lady. Why do I know that was a woman, you know?
Yeah, you shouldn't, because that one guy shot his TV set.
True. One viewer from Pittsburgh alleged that the show's voting system had been fixed by extreme supporters of the Tea Party and the radical right wing. I find that it's become a political platform for Sarah Palin to improve her image and ooze her political slime. The aggrieved correspondent continued, Bristol is not a star. What did she do? She had sex and got pregnant. Let's reward her. I made several calls to ABC's complaint line because I'm that stupid and I have that little of a life. And I hope that their phone lines melt. It's become a political movement with Tea Party websites instructing on how to vote for Palin. Hi, I am so paranoid that I've created an entire reality that I'm now going to relate to you. Here is my reality. Ready? Tea Party websites instruct on how to vote for Bristol Palin on Dancing with the Stars. Yes, that's right. Also, I'm so weird that I believe that Sarah Palin uses her daughter to improve her image and ooze her political slime by getting her daughter on Dancing with the Stars. I really do believe that. It is fixed by Tea Party people and radical right-wing people, ABC, a liberal media outlet in Hollywood. Thank you and good night. And the only thing that would make me happy after that spiel would be a muffled pistol shot.
God did himself in?
Yeah, like the guy did himself in. Whoever wrote that letter, I hope they killed himself right after it. God. Another source of grievances was a hug delivered to the 20-year-old Palin by one of the show's judges, Carrie Ann Inaba. Noting that no other dancer was called over for a hug, one viewer claimed that the clinch was a signal for the GOP Tea Party supporters of Sarah Palin to stuff the vote for Bristol Palin, who on both dates had to be dragged over the dance floor, the writer said. And how would this writer know? Because he, she, it probably spends all of their time approximating ballroom moves in their one-room dingy flat. The writer added that my 96-year-old mother-in-law, so now we get an idea as to how old the writer is, well into their 70s, my 96-year-old mother-in-law can dance better than Ms. Palin. Are you saying your 96-year-old mother-in-law is a good dancer or is crippled and is embarrassing? What are you saying? Well, she dances better. Yeah, but you think Sarah Palin dances really bad. Yes, so that must mean that your 96-year-old mother-in-law is a really crap dancer, but just only slightly better. Well, you can't say that. She's my mother-in-law. Yeah, huh? I want my government to protect me, the viewer, from deceptive practices. I want my government to protect me, the taxpayer from jackballs like this that write these letters. And I'd like to know how much salary it takes to review these letters. I'd like to know how much that's costing us, the taxpayers, to pull letters like this out of a bag and read them and take them seriously. I'd like to know how much that's costing. I want that trimmed off the federal budget. Thank you. A Cerritos, California resident reported that the physical contact made by Inaba sets the contestant up for thinking the judge will favor them. So, in other words, fueled by the Internet, people who have been drinking for so many years that brain cells have actually now been, billions of brain cells have been damaged. People who have been drinking and affected possibly by some sort of a psychosis, which means that brain cells die. People who have drug problems. People who just imagine little people living in the house with them. People who don't do well with other people, but instead talk to cats and dogs. All of them writing letters to the FCC about Sarah Palin. All of those people and their letters, I want that trimmed from the federal budget. I want them trimmed from... I want those people trimmed.
What's that supposed to mean? You want them killed?
Whatever the federal government does to make people disappear, I want them disappeared. All right, President Bush gets higher job approval ratings than President Obama. Wait, really? I thought he was...
And apparently he's still president.
So President Bush is still president and Obama?
Yeah.
All right. And we'll tell you the highest paid reality show stars, meaning people that don't have to memorize lines, but just stand there and go, shut up, and then cut.
Phil Hendry.